Please join me in a quick prayer from Psalm 19. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. The other day, I was flipping through my Facebook news feed, and for those of you that don't have Facebook, it's kind of a listing of what everyone's posting on Facebook. And I was going through it, and I came across a post from my friend. He was lamenting the state of Christianity and the church here in the U.S. currently. He was wondering what the point of even being church was anymore. If people were going to focus more on division and power in the church than on God's and Jesus' radical love. There are definitely days that it feels more like God is punishing us, or even worse, abandoning us, than it feels like God is present. When we turn on the news, we hear about fires, floods, tornadoes, hurricanes, destroying land, homes, and lives. More and more, we are told to fear the other. We hear an us versus them rhetoric, and it seems like our news constantly is filled with someone being shot and killed. We're being told more and more that we have something or someone to fear than we're being told to love. In reading his posts, I couldn't help but hear him calling out for a reason to have hope, a reason for faith again. Maybe some of you are also familiar with the sense of longing, a hunger for something different. The people that Jeremiah was writing to were also crying out for a message of hope. They were a people in exile. One might say they'd been cut down like a tree, with their removed from their land, cut off from their religious leaders, cut off from their rulers. They were experiencing terrible suffering, desolation, destruction, and loss. They were being told that they were being punished because they hadn't listened to God and Jeremiah's proclamations from God about loving and righteousness and justice. And yet, here they are 600 years later, and Jeremiah does almost like a complete 180. He's been warning them and telling them, and now they've been experiencing it, the despair and the destruction and the hopelessness. And it's so bad that God comes back and says, I am still here. There is still hope. Jeremiah, with this text, gives the people something to grasp at, a sense of hope, after they've been warned. It is a promise of hope and justice, that God, no matter how bad we are, how much we disobey or don't listen to God's will, God is still present. God still fulfills God's promises. Jeremiah doesn't say it might get better or it could get better, but it will get better. Now, the people of Jeremiah, when they hear this, they're hoping for maybe more of a return to normal, a return to power, to have their kingdom back. But for Jeremiah and for Jesus in our Luke text today, it's not about the return to normal. It's about a return to God's kingdom of righteousness and justice. Now, righteousness is kind of a word that we throw around a lot in the church, but we don't necessarily define all the time. But in Jeremiah and in Luke, we learn, and throughout the Bible, God tells us what God's version of righteousness is. If we look at the Hebrew of it, righteousness the Hebrew word, isn't just good behavior. It's a righted relationship with God. And the word that they use in the Hebrew for justice isn't just fairness, but it's everyone, even the poor, being cared for. It's being promised a simple safety of God's love and redemptive healing. Righteousness is acting according to God's purpose. And God's purpose, as we learn throughout the Bible, but particularly in the teachings of Jesus Christ, are love, forgiveness, choosing reconciliation over self-preservation. When we declare the Lord is our righteousness, we are saying that we are relying on God, not profitability, not whether or not something can sustain us, but we are relying on a God who declares equal rights for all people, who would rather die on a cross than resort to violent retribution. A God who tells us to love our enemies and those who revile, persecute, and hate us. A God who tells us that to be rich, we must first become poor. First, we must become last. And to inherit eternal life, we must be willing to die. This is hopeful, I promise you. Advent is hopeful. It's a time that invites us to look forward to God acting on our behalf, not only in the present, but in the future. So often we think, oh, we're preparing for the Jesus' birth that happened already. But Advent is a time of not only new and waiting, but renewal. As I said to the kids, we're renewing our faith in Christ and renewing our love of God and God's promise to be with us. Jeremiah, as I said, likely had returned to the land of his ancestors in mind when he said the Lord of righteousness. But we as Christians, as believers, as followers of Jesus, have a larger frame of reference. For Jesus, and therefore for us, a return to the land of the righteousness is a vision of the future where God's realm becomes here on earth. Advent is a time of waiting. And we can choose for waiting to be a sign of hope, a belief that something better is to come. Because if we didn't believe, if we didn't have that hope deep down inside of us, why would we wait? Waiting is hopeful. But God also calls us in that waiting, in that renewal, to participate, to be open to what God can do through us. We want God to come and be here, and we want Christmas to be here, and we want to move on, and we want it to happen in our time, in our control. And the reality of the waiting, the reality of the hope, is that God still happens on God's time. So it may seem at times while we're waiting like it's dark and dreary, but we are called to remember that God is with us. God's promise will be fulfilled. The dark is not an end, but it's a door, a way for the new reign of God to happen here on earth. A new relationship between God and us and our community. After reading my friend's post, I felt the need to share hope with him. In all of church history, and even before Jesus, there were leaders and followers who ignored God's teachings and calls for a more just and righteous path. There were leaders and teachers who focused more on their individual needs and wants. There were leaders and followers who throughout the entire time chose their own power and control over God's radical love. The hope that Jeremiah gives us and that I shared with my friend is that even in the midst of all of that, God remained present and a form of the church continued on then and continues on now, working and creating heaven on earth. Now the church now doesn't look like the church of 500 years ago or 1,000 years ago, and it definitely doesn't look like the church of Jesus when he first came. And that's okay. Jeremiah gives us a chance to imagine the world as one of justice and peace, forgiveness and reconciliation, love and grace. Hope is a time of waiting, but it's also a time of imagination. Advent is a time of journey, of imagining what can be when we let God in and we follow God's will. And so as we begin our Advent journey and a new year in the church, let us not look back and remember what was, but rather look forward and imagine how God can and will work through us to be better individuals, a better church, and a better community. May we be the light in the darkness, bringing the hope of God's love and presence to those still struggling in the dark. Amen.